Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And to our beloved listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're wondering what to read this week. After the Prophet of Islam, who was the seal of prophethood, the onus of religious guidance fell on the shoulders of the Imams, each appointed by God Himself. Guidance continued in the form of the Imamate of Ali ibn Abi Talib, his two sons, Hassan and Hussein, and the rest who were from Hussein's progeny, totaling up to an absolute 12 Imams. Although the final Imam, Imam Mahdi, went into occultation some 1,000 years ago, but Imamate remains the pillar of our understanding of religion, because Islam is a religion for all times and the Imam shall reappear. Their words, their actions, lifestyle, and teachings, they inspire our religious identity and show us the path to reaching God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is a religion for all aspects of life, and so Imamate affects all aspects of our life. This puts a responsibility on our shoulders to understand Imamate and know the Imams. Recognition of the Imam is one of the major Islamic obligations, and this doesn't simply mean knowing the name of the Imam, but acknowledging his superfluity and his superior knowledge and leadership competence. To that end, it is about finding our way to God through the path that He has designed Himself and taught the Imams. If we are to be obedient to the Imams, we must first truly understand that they have the right qualities and requirements to be fully trusted for this mission. The Imams will give us commands and orders, some of which we may not fully understand, but the more sincere the follower, the more closer he will get to God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we want to introduce a book about the Imamate. Stay tuned.
7 barometric pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only King.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
You are tuned to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf. The host is Hussein. We were talking about the importance of Imamate and what it means to know the Imam just before the break. I want to introduce the book I have in front of me. It's called Imamate and the Imams by Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini, published by Ansarian Publications and translated by Hamide Elahiniya. The book is 184 pages. The book has kindly been published for free on al-islam.org by Ansarian Publications. Ansarian Publications has dedicated itself to translating and disseminating Islamic books in several languages for decades. And they are a truly respected institution and offer any help that they can. The first chapter of the book, Imamate and Imams, by Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini, is about the definition of Imamate and the privileges of the Imams. The second chapter is about Prophet Muhammad's household, as mentioned in the Holy Quran and traditions. The third chapter discusses the Imamate's reasons. And finally, the fourth chapter introduces the infallible Imams and their specific reasons for Imamate for each one of them, each one's virtue, ethical values, knowledge, worship, and moral journey. Don't go anywhere, we're taking a short break, and then we'll read an excerpt from chapter 3 of this book, which is called Imamate and the Imams. Meanwhile, you can download the book from al-islam.org and join us in the reading. Stay tuned.
Is full of joy, my heart will stay there. a faithful heart forever.
My heart will stay there.
My heart,
a faithful heart forever.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we're just about to read chapter 3 of the book Imamate and the Imams. Just before I get into chapter 3, I'd like to read the subcategories of this chapter. It's called The Arguments of Imamate and includes the reasons for Imamate of the Imams, the first reason, which is Prophet Muhammad's tradition, and the appointment by the previous Imams, and the miracles. One of the major controversial issues among the Muslims from early Islamic era has been the true and legitimate method of selecting the Prophet's caliph or the imam of the Muslims. The question is that who is allowed to define the Prophet's caliph and introduce him to the people? Is the divine guidance needed in recognition and appointment of the imam, or is this task devolved to the Islamic ummah? This controversy has divided the Muslims into two sects of Sunnism and Imamiyya. We also know them as Shi'ism. The Shi'a Muslims believe that no one can recognize and introduce the Imam except the Almighty Allah and Prophet Muhammad. So the Imam is appointed by Allah and His Messenger. The Sunni Muslims, however, claim that there is no need to introduce and appoint the Caliph by the Prophet. Rather, recognition and selection of the Imam is put to the Muslims and they are qualified to do so. The root of this difference among the two major Islamic sects is another difference about conditions and characteristics of the caliph and the imam. The Shia Muslims consider two qualities necessary for the caliph of the Messenger of Allah. First, complete knowledge of Islamic sciences and teachings, values and disvalues, virtues and all Islamic rules and commandments revealed to Prophet Muhammad. And second, infallibility of faults, forgetfulness, wrongdoing, sins and transgression of divine regulations. The Imamiyya or Shia have proved these two necessary qualities of the Prophet's caliph in Kalam books using logical arguments and the traditions. Regarding the necessity of these two characteristics, it's said that the introducer of Prophet's caliph should be able to recognize the infallible individuals and the divine scholars among other people. Only Allah and His Prophet can do so, because it is He who has created humans and knows well their innate essence. The Almighty has created the Prophet and the Imams and is aware of their infallibility. Therefore, only the Imam who is selected by Prophet Muhammad possesses the divine sciences and guidance. This way, an infallible Imam can be known in one of these three ways. First, introduction and appointment by the Prophet. Second, introduction by the previous infallible Imam who holds Prophet Muhammad's sciences and knowledge. And third, showing a miracle that is a sign of Allah's support. The Sunni Muslims, however, do not consider knowledge of Islamic sciences and infallibility as necessary conditions of the Prophet's caliph. They believe that selecting the caliph is devolved to the people. Anyone who is selected by the people and the people take the oath of allegiance with him is the Prophet's caliph and should be obeyed. They define three methods in this regard. One is people's consensus, as happened in case of Abu Bakr's caliphate. The other method is introduction of previous fallible caliph, just as Abu Bakr introduced Umar as the next caliph before his demise. And one other method is selection by the nobles' council, like what happened in selecting Uthman, the third Sunni caliph after Prophet Muhammad.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
All right, that pause should give you an idea that my time is over, unfortunately. The book that I introduced was called Imamate and the Imams by Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini. You can download it for free from al-islam.org. If you missed our program, no worries. You can always download an archive of this show and our previous shows from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week and a lot of reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.